Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, what's up, After Buzzers? We are back for another after show for the Americans. Tonight, we're breaking down season 6, episodes 4 and 5. You got 2-for-1 special coming up right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Coming in on go. The theme song for once.
Here we go.
Yes.
The drama and intensity, it's all like rising.
It is. Yes. We are back. Back again.
We're back.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm your host, Alina Vision, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host.
Hey, everybody. I'm Al G.
Yeah. So we got a lot to cover tonight. We were off last week. I was sick, but I'm back. In it. At it, and we're going to break down these two episodes right now. So, before we get into that, we have to remind you guys that we have a special little segment that you should stay tuned for, Cold War Flashback.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you didn't forget, did you?
I forgot we're getting a tease. Oh, my God. And one more tease. We're getting the latest news and updates
that's
for the show for
right,
the Americans.
That's right. And this one is a good one.
Yeah,
okay. Sent. This is a good one. I like this.
All right.
But yeah, let's get right into it since we got two. So episode 4, Mr. and Mrs. Teacup. Right off the bat, what was your impression of the show?
Well, I loved it, but first of all, it's like, I'm always like, get hung up on the title. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just from what little research I did, is this motif about teacups breaking and being easily breakable. And and Stan was referring to Sophia and Janali about them being Mr. and Mrs. Teacup. I guess Mr. Crazy Couple or whatever.
Right.
But really, you know who's the real Mr. and Mrs. Teacup?
Who?
It's Philip and Elizabeth. Yeah. Those are the ones who are like really fragile right now.
It seems like every couple in this series is fragile at one point or another. Definitely. I mean, I got to agree with you on Elizabeth and Philip because their relationship kind of always is a little bit on the rocks, I feel. I mean, they go through their ups and downs like every relationship does. But right now, they're definitely on a wall.
Yeah, it's really tense. But, you know, Elizabeth, you know, she knows how to make things happen. So we'll talk about that later.
Using her feminine wiles,
right,
you know.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I really did like that episode. I think we saw a lot of just the spiral that Elizabeth is going down, especially working on her own. So let's start talking about that. She is, at the beginning of the episode, she's on a mission. She sneaks into the, I believe it's called Athlon building, to get the sensor that they desperately need.
And by the way, I love the way it was shot. I actually couldn't see it on my monitor the first
time.
Right? It was driving me crazy.
I thought it was just me.
Yeah. It was driving me crazy. And I found out I'm not the only person who gets it. Other people think that online. But when you see it on a really finely tuned monitor, it looks great.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool. You know, and just like with the like the lights, like she hits the lights,
yeah,
she shoots the lights, and like they kind of burst in and out, and then back to darkness, and then you see like the feet of the security coming. So I thought that was a really cool sequence.
Yeah.
But once again, Elizabeth cannot get out of a mission without killing anybody.
Yeah, I mean, she kills 3 people.
Yeah.
3 people just shot dead, and she doesn't get what she went there to get. And if I don't know. I was kind of thinking about this because has she really been that effective this season and everything that she's doing? I mean, she's getting info, but it's by like the most drastic means necessary. And it's not always that she's getting what she needs.
Good point. Yeah. And I was trying to weigh this along with her mental state and being burnt out.
Right.
Have we seen her actually make a mistake because she's burnt out, or is this just the way it's always gone with her? Like, it's just been like a screwed up situation every time. I don't know.
I feel like she's just at her like wall, and because Philip isn't there, we always saw them as a couple together working. Like, he had her back, she had his, and they played well off of each other. Now that it's just her, she doesn't have that to play off of. So she's making like just instinct calls all of a sudden, like, I have to kill this person because they could mess this up. Like, I have to get this. There is no other plan
to share
there's no plan B. Yeah. So I think that's why she's just.
And obviously, it's all going to take a toll on her.
Okay. Definitely taking a toll on her. I mean, she's always out there in the morning smoking her
cigarette.
Smoking
her cigarette, not giving in. The first time I think he walked downstairs, she didn't even look at him.
No.
She just like rolled her eyes or whatever, kept smoking her cigarette. I'm like, dang.
Yeah. I mean, hey.
Times are tough at the.
Times are tough. Yeah. So she doesn't get the sensor over there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose.
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
And another thing that we saw her doing, obviously, is her other incognito over at Erica's place, Erica and Glenn's, and being a nurse. And I really want to talk about this because she let her need for the mission, obviously. What happened was Glenn wanted to go over to his friend's place. He was having a World Series viewing party, and the Russians that were probably going to be there. So she thought, oh, well, if, you know, they're there, maybe I can hear, like, some information.
Yeah, I thought she's going to come up.
Yeah, so she volunteers to take this terminally ill woman.
She's ruthless.
Like, ruthless, right? What were you thinking when she... Because she doesn't have that medical, like, you know... Yeah. I mean, she has the basic...
What if something actually went wrong?
Exactly. Yeah. She has the basic medical, I guess you could say, know-how if, like, someone gets shot. You know, how to keep them alive. But for this, I thought that was kind of ruthless.
Nah, you're putting your finger on a reoccurring theme is that, you know, like, how... I guess, how lost... Is Elizabeth, you know, how separated is she from, like, you know, any type of compassion and emotions and these people this impacts? And it just keeps getting worse and worse. And then meaning think it can't get any worse, it gets worse.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she takes the poor lady over to the party and she's just like, I shouldn't be here. And she starts vomiting up bile. Like, oh my goodness, poor thing, you know? Just to feel that way, to not feel good, and then to have all that happen.
And I don't know if anybody noticed this, but when she was actually listening to the tape, the whole like tape got kind of ruined what she thought she was going to get something from them, because it was like, oh, like, she's throwing up, we got to go, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's like, it just kind of messed up the whole thing.
Exactly. Because she puts, you know, the listening device into the coat. And all she gets is literally pleasantries.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much it. So the plan, once again, backfired on her.
There you go.
She's not getting what she needs. And it's definitely a theme that we see play into the next episode as well. Just her going to, like, the extremes of needing to get that type of information. So.
Let's dig in deep. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. Also in that episode, we see Elizabeth and Claudia, and that's when they first discuss about Sophia and Gunaldi.
Right.
And they did. Claudia, or was it Claudia that brought up that Beeman's girlfriend Renee was talking about at that one dinner party?
She did bring that up.
That one dinner party, she's talking about the Russian couple that were kind of on the brinks, and they thought they found him. They're like, we got to take this guy out.
Yeah, I mean, poor Gennady. He's just, you know, he just wants to like watch his hockey,
drink his beer,
have his pizza. Yeah, I don't want to skip ahead to the next episode, but we've been waiting for that noose to tighten all this time.
We have,
and we've been waiting to see who is it going to impact. Is it going to impact Gennady? Is it going to impact Sophia? Who's going to be like the casualty?
Right. I think this is the first time that we're seeing now the storylines of the different characters really come into kind of like an X or a crux, because Elizabeth gives the directions to her other agent to follow Beeman.
Right.
So, yeah.
And she's like, don't use what's Paige's code name, and don't use that young girl. You know?
Do you think it was just because she was like, oh, she's inexperienced, or because it was like she could be caught by Beeman obviously.
That, and also, who knows how she might react if, like, she's a stand. She might, like, crack or whatever.
Right. Because Elizabeth was very poker face when she was telling the other agent, like, yo, just follow this guy. He probably won't be looking for you, but just be careful.
Right.
So... I don't know. Yeah. Interesting. But I like the fact that now things are, I mean, we're on episode 4 with this one, so things are starting to come together and the weaves are starting to be woven.
Yeah. we're starting to build to a climax. And people, we only have 5 episodes left.
So sad.
It's like, we know Body's going to start falling any minute. I'm just waiting to see.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to ask you who in predictions you think is going to be first. Because that'll be interesting.
Right.
So, yeah, moving on to Philip. I mean, he's living the American dream. I mean, he bought into it, but he's living the American dream, but he's also coming in with, like, you know, the underbelly of the American dream. Like, sometimes your business doesn't do so good.
It's like, you know, he wanted to live the American dream. Well, now he got it. Welcome to debt. You know what I mean? Welcome to bills, you know? And maybe, like, line dancing on Thursday. Or whatever. That's, like, the only happiness
exactly.
he gets.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do to survive.
And the funny thing is, I was just contrasting Elizabeth and... his character so much. They're so opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Because Elizabeth is so closed, even when it comes to details about the mission, it's only about, like, okay, what's the actual facts? What's the principles? What's the nuts and bolts? Versus where Philip, I mean, he's willing to talk to her about, like, well, the bills aren't going right. And obviously, like, you know, this I'm not really feeling what's going on, you know, with our spying career. And it's just him just being more open. So it just sets a nice contrast between the two characters. I kind of empathize with him a little bit more. I want to emphasize more with Elizabeth, but, you know, Philip's got my heart.
Philip's got your heart.
Philip's got my heart. Yeah, you know, I'm rooting for him.
I'm kind of on the same page with you. I love Elizabeth's character, but I think I just empathize more with Philip, and maybe that's because he is kind of living the American lifestyle of, you know, life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting that you said that and the contrast between the two of them, because he's not so quick to give up all of this, even though it's getting hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really, I don't think, in other seasons heard them talk about having any money problems whatsoever.
Yeah. I assume from the beginning, you know, the KGB put them on, gave them this nice cover business, you know, which they just have to maintain. Like, just the fact that Philip would go out and invest all this money and hire new people just goes to show, like, okay, it's not just about a cover anymore, which we knew.
Right.
You know, he's embracing it. But, you know, perhaps, I mean, I guess that's, you know, it just reveals his handicap or his Achilles heel, in that, you know, he loves this life of America and he wants the best for his kids.
Yeah, and I mean, even when he was talking to Oleg, because Oleg comes back in the picture, he said, you know, I don't even really remember what it's like back home.
Right.
And that's just how much he's bought into America and their our way of life.
Good point. I'm just going to skip ahead just because I love this ending scene of that episode. Mm-hmm. It's Philip has a flashback of when he was a kid and when they were starving.
Right.
And when like he and his little the poor little Russian kids, they would wait outside the restaurant for the cook to come and just like give them like, you know, pots where they could just like lick the bottom of and lick the spoons and stuff. So and it's weird because they have him. He goes into this flashback when he's staring at a like a turkey sandwich or something. So it's kind of... It's kind of like this weird juxtaposition where Philip, yes, he's worried about their financial health,
right.
but they're not starving. They're never going to starve. And, you know, from whence he came. Anyway, I just thought it was an interesting portrayal.
Exactly. Like, you can always downsize the business.
Yeah.
Like, there is options.
Yeah.
I mean, even though Elizabeth brought that up, he was like, I don't know if downsizing is going to cut it, but...
How can that... That's funny. I mean,
yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, all these heads got to roll, but that's another...
fired.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, maybe he just grew too big too fast. And unfortunately for his son, Henry, who's off away at boarding school.
Poor Henry. Probably not going to get to finish school.
You know, well, I mean, he'll finish school, just be at a public school. You know, I mean.
Right.
Poor him. But yeah, I mean, and I was trying to think when I was a teenager and like I had to switch schools. I think it was my sophomore year. And I mean, that's a big deal, especially if you've gone to school. I think he's a junior.
Okay.
You know, and you're already like, oh, I'm going to be captain on this and that.
Yeah, he's like found his groove.
Right. And I don't think at that age you quite understand finances.
Yeah.
You know, especially someone from his stature. Other people might, but yeah.
I don't know. You know, all kind of things started running through my mind. I was like, well, Philip, man, you guys do all these missions. Is there any way, you know, you can like steal a little money on the side, ask for the center. I had all these crazy thoughts, but that's how into it I was with him about like wanting to provide for Henry.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I guess that just obviously reveals like, you know, like the depth of how he feels inside of not being able to
provide for
at least what he thought.
What he wanted. And that was it was such a good scene to watch. Like, the acting was so good because you could see how hard it was for Philip to tell his son.
I mean,
that's just
inside.
Hard.
Yeah.
That's hard to tell your kid, you know, sorry, we are not going to be able to afford your school next year. I know you're really excited, but it's just not going to be happening.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I got to bring this. When Philip's talking about Elizabeth about this, and she's like, well, you know, Henry's your problem.
She's
like, hilarious like that. Not like,
no, she said, Henry's your department.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, damn.
Not like, how could I help you, poor Henry? She was like, peace, I'm going to sleep.
I'm tired. You figure that out. I got Paige.
Yeah, yeah. Turn over,
Henry.
Other side of the bed.
Right? She did. She's kind of ruthless at that. I mean, and he, that was the first, actually, that scene, I feel it was like the first scene in this season where we actually saw them kiss, right? Like, there was some affection.
The latest episode tonight?
No, in the fourth.
The fourth?
Yeah,
okay.
I think we did.
All right, but they didn't sleep together.
No, they
just
didn't, because she was like, I'm tired, and she did the rollover.
Yeah, the rollover. Wait, do you know about the rollover move, Alina? I'm going to ask you about the rollover. Have you ever
nothing.
Done the rollover?
I plead the fifth.
Never done the rollover move.
I mean, sometimes you're just tired. Like, no. She has a legit reason. She's been running how many things on her own?
But she's not prioritizing her family.
That's true.
Small,
her man.
This is kind of like...
Which
odd,
we will get to in
which,
the next
which, yes,
episode.
We talked about that. We're going to get to that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean... It's really interesting between the two of them. Their dynamic. We can see them talking a little bit more in this episode, obviously, with the whole bedroom scene and in the bed. And they're starting to get a little bit more closeness. And I feel like, I don't know if it's just, I think it's part Philip wanting to be close, obviously, with Elizabeth because he loves her. But I think it's also part, like, they're both kind of working each other, even though they don't know.
That's true. That's
they're
true.
They're working each other.
Yeah, that's
know?
True. Are we officially in episode 5? Is that what we're talking about?
First off, we have to remember that Kimmy's back.
Ah, Kimmy's back in the house.
Yes.
Kimmy's in the building.
Kimmy is back. She's now in college. She's not a minor anymore.
Jailbait Kimmy.
Still weird. Still super weird. So he's still getting the tapes from her dad.
Right.
That obviously works for the CIA, but Kimmy doesn't know about the tapes and whatnot.
And the funny thing is, I mean, you know, she's become more independent. You know, right. She's taking more control of her life. She's like, I'm not going to be coming home for vacations as much anymore. And she's even like giving Philip advice. Like, she's like, well, Philip, you seem really lonely. You deserve
a
better life.
Stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know what? That was like kind of a profound thing for someone like her to say because, I mean, he is kind of stuck. And I was like, a lot of the characters in this episode are kind of stuck. I mean, Elizabeth stuck. Oleg stuck.
Yeah.
I mean.
And this, and like those, the Cold War sympathizers in the Soviets, they're stuck in that old way of thinking.
Right, exactly. There's just a lot of stuck going on. And people are trying to make it move, but it's like walking through heavy mud.
Change is hard, man.
It is. It doesn't come fast. You forget how hard it is. It doesn't come fast at all. But I think. Oh, no, we can't forget this. The blow up between Philip and Elizabeth over Paige.
Okay.
In the kitchen. Like, this is interesting. So when he comes in and he's like, oh, we're doing this. Like, you're just full back on it, you know, about to Paige. And we actually saw, like, the rub in between Philip and Elizabeth over Paige and what she does.
Was it because, did it come, tell me if this is the point you're referring to in the scene where they're talking about the general who had to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip's like, I wonder why he had to kill himself.
Exactly.
And then Paige is like, well, sometimes, sometimes life is like, really?
Because you could tell that, you know, Elizabeth hadn't told the whole truth. And he knew that.
Of course
not. And he was like, really? You're just going to, you want her to be in this business, but you're not going to tell her the full truth. Like, I kind of side with him on that.
I think Elizabeth's more delusional than Philip. You know, just as far as like, you know, how she thinks she can keep Paige safe and with the number of things. But
right. I mean, if she's going to go into this, she needs to know the good, the bad, the ugly, the dirty, everything.
So, just another clash with Philip and Elizabeth.
That was a great scene.
Yeah, it was a good
Loved
scene.
It.
Really volatile. I'm rooting for him. So we'll see.
All right. Moving on to episode 5. But before we do that, you want to have some fun?
Let's have some fun.
Yeah. If you want to have fun and learn and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we have the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life.
Nice.
I feel like the whole cast could use
Philip and Elizabeth, definitely.
Philip, Elizabeth, Paige, kind of everyone.
Sit down with Maria.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen to her podcast. From health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Hey, we like free.
We like free.
Free 99. Be sure to rate, comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us that sent you here.
Hey.
Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Check it out. Download it.
That's right. All right. Episode 5. The Great Patriotic War.
The Great Patriotic War.
Yes.
I was wondering when this is going to come up. The Great Patriotic War. I mean, obviously from the Russian side, for, you know, people, history facts. That was, I mean, obviously World War II. We all know what happened in World War II. And it's funny, Alina and I were talking a couple of weeks ago about, wow, remember at one point in time we were actually allies with Russia.
Right, yeah.
You know, but and not to skip ahead, but but basically we see how Claudia and Elizabeth, I don't want to say further indoctrinating her, because I don't know if it's indoctrinating the word, but it's just they're so heavy-handed, I feel like with with the Russian point of view. Like even the statistics they were quoting Claudia was saying, we lost, you know, like
27
million and the Americans only lost.
I think she said 27 million.
I'm sure she did. She did. Yeah. And I knew the Russians would lost more because this was a war in Europe. But I'm pretty sure the U.S. Lost a few more soldiers than she put it in World War II. But I guess more than anything, it highlights just like how their position is defined, you know, in Russia. You know, that's their point of view. That's what they see. Look at all this loss we've taken while you guys get away with everything.
Right. I thought it was really, really interesting just to hear that point of view, because I think just as I don't know, maybe Americans, we don't hear that as much. Like, it wasn't in our text.
Yeah, we need to hear
it. I don't think, from what I remember.
Elizabeth was like, yeah, I want to tear up that textbook.
She said that, and she, you know, she was like, remember when you were in ninth grade and you were taking world or U.S. history? Like, I wanted to literally tear up that textbook.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense because, you know, there was some bias probably in the textbook, and it didn't tell the whole story.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody gets to have their own point of view, and history is written by the winners, and, you know.
Exactly, exactly. But it was interesting. I like seeing the point of view from them.
Right.
And I think it gives more context as to the things that, you know, and why they do what they do.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Why Elizabeth is so gung-ho on the way things are and the way things should be in the Soviet Union.
Which, we keep going back to this, or I keep going back to this, you know, like responsibility of, I think, your family first, you know, versus your job. But when, forget about, well, if you had to ask Elizabeth what's a priority, her actions show that her responsibility is to her country. That's where her loyalty is. You know, Paige, maybe that's going to be her legacy, but, you know, her loyalty is to her country. Her life is devoted.
Right. Now, Elizabeth is definitely very, very devoted, and it might even be that that's like her flaw, is that she's too devoted and can't see outside the box.
Not nuanced enough.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Not touchy-feely like Philip.
I like Philip. Yeah. I like the fact that he, you know, that's one thing I love about this show is that stereotypically you'd assume or people would normally write the female in that role being the touchy-feely one, and they flip that, and I love it.
Exactly.
I love the fact that she's so just hard-headed and, you know, down the line, and this is the way it is, and
tough
all of that.
Nails.
Exactly, and Philip's so more the one that's a little bit more in touch with his emotions.
And it works, but wait, Philip finally had to bust out with some of that, you know, like that man strength on Paige. That's later when they do the little sparring thing. He's like, I'm going to let you know. This is how a real man fights. You know, ain't no college kids, ain't your mom.
Exactly. Let's talk about Paige then, since we're on that right now. So Paige is kind of dating an intern-ish, I guess, that is working for somebody in the State Department or Defense?
Or congressman or something.
Right, something like that. And so she ends up going out to a bar, actually, with some of her friends.
Right.
And a guy is way too drunk and pretty much puts his hands on her.
But wait, can we even flash back to the last time? I'm sorry to circle back the previous episode where she spent the night at this guy's house.
She
did. What I mean? And, like, she's waking up, like, got the covers up, and she's like, eyeing his little, like, ID pass.
Yeah.
Immediately. You can see the wheels, like, you know, turning in her head about how she's going to, like, infiltrate and flip this guy. I'm like, Paige, what are you doing? Mom said, keep it separate. But that's the one thing that's, like, it's always been kind of a flaw with her. Even with the, I want to say, with Matthew. With
right.
The, you know, she's still, she hasn't found the discernment to separate. Yeah,
right.
This is somebody who I like and I want to spend time with versus this is somebody who's an asset.
Right, exactly. And Elizabeth makes it very clear you cannot do both.
Right.
You either like them and you don't listen to what they're saying about work or whatever and you don't get any information from them, or you know, try to use them as an asset and you do not like them.
Alina,
like,
I want to know what, from a female point of view,
yeah,
what is going on with Paige in that whole thing? Like, I like him, but, you know, he's also got this access to, like, what's going on with that whole, like both thing? He's kind of cute, but I can also kind of work him.
I mean, she's 21.
Okay.
You know, at 21, you're like, oh, he's cute. And, you know, I could totally make that, like, you're thinking in your head, you can make it work.
Okay.
Like, because you just think, I like him, but it's okay, because I can in your head you're thinking you can separate the two.
Okay.
Girlfriend, no.
No, all right, good. Yeah, Paige is getting she's getting
she still has a lot to learn, I think.
Yeah, as she does. So you're talking about the bar.
Yeah, so at the bar, guy puts his hand on her and she just clocks him, nails him,
right.
He takes him out, takes out the guy who's hitting on her, and comes back to the house. And she has a bright shiner, right?
Right.
And Elizabeth and Philip are like, what happened to you? She's like, let's go spar.
Yeah.
I was thinking, okay, if I came home with a shiner.
How did you get that? How did you get that first?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's going on? Elizabeth spars with her and come to find out, you know, she asks her what's really going on. Paige tells her the story.
Mm.
And, Elizabeth brings up, like, you can't sleep with da-da-da-da. you know, who you're having, who you're trying to turn or whatever.
Right.
You have to, you know, you have to be... You have to keep a low profile. People can't see you. This, that, and the other.
Boy, I'm sorry.
And Philip, like, busted, who are you having sex with? That was such
and
a great
wait, and
moment.
Here's the, correct me if I'm wrong. When Elizabeth and Paige are talking after they're sparring, Elizabeth is telling her about keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
Then Paige goes immediately into, I can sleep with whoever
yes!
I want. And she totally snitched on herself.
Like, oh,
that was hilarious.
You just snitched on yourself, girl, because nobody was saying anything.
Yeah.
And you and your dad was there. I was like, oh,
that was hilarious.
Lord.
Yeah,
that
was,
and he's
hilarious.
Like, who are you sleeping with?
Yeah, that was hilarious. Okay, so let's unpack that whole thing again.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we know that Elizabeth, not Paige, probably likes this guy a little bit.
Uh-huh.
See, she seems to. She slept with him. She's hanging out with him. And she's also got, you know, she's also ear hustling on, like, you know, what else she can do, like, politically, use him as an asset. But tell me if, I want to know your opinion, when things start going bad, because it's not the first time that a guy has a drunk friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, did the drunk friend kind of like hit a raw nerve when he was talking about, no, you told me skydiving wasn't all spiritual. You said it was like getting jerked off. Did that kind of
right.
blow it for her? Like,
for so, him?
Well, her saying like, or like, okay, he's not as whatever, he's not as Mr. Goody Two Shoes as
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because it's just, and then he didn't, you know, it's just the friend was, it just killed it.
Yeah. I mean, I could be like, yo, that's the friend, but I guess you're looking at it like the friends, your friends.
Right, birds of a common feather flock together, lady. Okay.
Ladies, we all ain't the same.
Okay,
but...
birds of a common feather.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
So I think that's probably where it was. She's like, you know what? Never mind.
Okay, then this is what I'm getting to. Also, then this highlights that whole fracture of doing something for somebody. Okay, if somebody's an asset, Elizabeth is going to be, you know, totally cold about everything, cold and calculating, versus somebody who gets their emotions drawn into it. So I almost felt like, well, I did feel like, I think you tell me from your point of view, but it was like she almost felt like, not degraded, but like rejected and kind of lessened. Not only is this guy seeing he's really not as cool as I think he is, but like his friends downing me too. Like she actually cared what they thought. To me, that's what triggered her. Like what else is going to make her so sensitive? Like she's going to turn around and go off in this guy.
I don't know. I mean, she had been drinking. Everyone had been drinking. I think she was just like, I just want to get out of here.
Okay.
And the fact that he, like, put his hand on her.
Right, yeah, that was wrong.
Like, that's, yeah.
Dead ass wrong.
I was like, okay.
But
yeah.
Dude, when she turned around and hit her boyfriend, too, that was funny.
Yeah.
Her date, that was funny.
she was not having it. Not having it at all. All right, so yeah, let's talk about Beeman. Beeman's back in the episode. So now he's being followed by Elizabeth's crew.
Right.
And he leads them literally straight to the safe house
right.
of Mr. and Mrs. Teacup. Sophia.
Do we think Stan is slipping a little bit when he does that?
You know, I was really surprised. I would just think that if you're going to an asset's house or safe house like that, and they're in a safe house, you would be watching your back to
you're
make
supposed
sure
to be doing, like, counter
you're
surveillance.
Not exactly
yeah.
you're not followed.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised that it was just like, let's go to the house.
Right.
Like, no, you know, it didn't seem like he was watching his back at all.
Oh, well, here's another thing too. We saw, you know, we know his old partner Dennis had asked him to spend more time with Ginaldi, you know what I mean? Work on help him feel better, securing his relationship.
Right.
So he's sitting up there drinking beers with him, watching the game for like 6 hours. But like you could tell Stan is slipping. He's falling asleep. He's like,
yeah.
yo, it's like, you know, there's only, I know this guy thinks you're his best friend or whatever, but come on, man. You know, you got to stay sharp, which is, I think ultimately, not necessarily his fault, but why they were able to get the couple.
Right. Yeah, I honestly do, because if Stan hadn't been slipping, I mean, it was kind of a little bit obvious as well that there was an FBI agent, like, stationed right outside the
right,
gate.
Right. I wonder who that guy
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's just standing there for hours on end, a little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see that in, you know, the final scene with the couple that Sophia had gone over there, because when Beeman first told her that she's going to be, you know, in the witness protection program moving to Oklahoma, she's like, I don't know. Like, is Ginaldi going to be there?
So what happened with her? Did she change her mind about Ganaldi? Apparently.
I mean, she was over there. So I think she was just kind of like, well, I don't want to move to Oklahoma by myself. And okay. I have a son. So let's try to make this work out.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Possibly. I don't know. But yeah, he almost got killed by Elizabeth one night.
Oh my goodness.
In the stairwell.
I was like, why is he walking alone until we finally saw like his bodyguard like come up from behind?
It seemed like just that FBI on their part was slipping in that area because he shouldn't have been out there alone. There should have been somebody like outside his door or maybe even in the house if he's just such a high value target.
Thank you.
That I just felt like that was odd.
Yeah, the fact that she was able just to slip in there. I definitely thought they should have been somebody, by the door or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Elizabeth slipped in, killed both of them.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, she better not kill the kid. I will be done with her if she kills the kid.
I only went there for a second. I was just bummed that she killed Sophia, too.
Oh, of course she was going to kill Sophia. She's on a killing spree. She's
mass murderer
now.
Yeah,
she is at this point. Yeah. I mean, goodness gracious, she might as well be a serial killer. I mean, she's just killed everyone that crosses her path.
Right.
It's like you catch her in a wig, you better like run for the woods.
And to clarify, because you and I just kind of jumped into it, we're talking about obviously, you know, when Elizabeth was tracking Ganaldi, and she's first time she gets spoiled by the FBI agent, and the second time she's able to sneak in, and she thinks it's only going to be Ganaldi, and she takes him out, and then she realizes that Sophia's there. It's just these other beats that made it really interesting to me. It was like, you know, there's one more person to deal with. There's another cost.
Exactly. Another person, another cost. Another life.
Another life.
Another life.
Another life. Cha-ching on a little notch.
And she was actually trying to get out of there when she heard Sophia.
True.
But she just couldn't get out. And
that's Elizabeth's problem. She can never get out.
Yeah, because she doesn't have Philip there because she's doing this on her own.
That's what it is. Good point. That's what she needs to realize.
Oh, goodness. So, Philip. Philip and Elizabeth. Okay, so they're getting more physical, obviously, this episode. And we were talking about this off camera. I was we have to save it for on camera.
Okay.
Because we just didn't... I wanted to talk about it with you. So do you think her sleeping with Philip, because this is a long... You know, they haven't done it in a while, was just to get Philip to do something.
Most definitely. She ain't getting no pussy in forever. He's been trying to get some loving, some attention from his wife, and the one time she sleeps with him is, of course, when she wants something the next day.
The next day, she's like, hey, honey.
So, Alina, have you ever tried that?
No. What? Why is this always coming back to me?
From the female perspective. We just want to hear another perspective. I caught it from the man's perspective. I was like, Philip, man, don't go down. Don't go that easy.
Yeah, you guys always do. Y'all are so easy.
True.
But yeah, she comes in the next morning and she's like, you know, I have to get more tapes from Breland, which is Kimmy's dad. And Philip had already told her, you know, she's going to Greece for, you know, the vacation. And so it's not going to be until like after Thanksgiving or something until then. And she's like, no, I need these tapes now. So you got to figure this out. And she came up with a whole plan of Philip meets Kimmy in Greece, and then they take her across the border to Bulgaria. They'll drug her up, and then in Bulgaria,
she's going to get caught with drugs or something.
Right, and it'll be like ransom, and so her dad will have to give the information. And Philip goes along with it. Like, he meets
I was
up
disappointed.
With Kimmy.
I was disappointed because obviously you could tell he cares for her like his daughter, because Kimmy's just like the same age of his daughter.
As Paige,
yeah. And like, you know, he dives in and he goes like full deep. He jumps deep into the assignment.
You went there. You went there.
He goes all the way in.
He was not liking it. That's what she said. Oh, Lord. But he did it. And it was just so weird to see, because I still think of her as like this 15-year-old or just underage. Just the age difference is so... Like, oh, and you could just tell he's just like, I don't like doing this. Like, I don't want to be doing this.
Philip's a good man.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think he even told Elizabeth, like, she's a kid. And Elizabeth came back at him like, not anymore.
ruthless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when she needs to get something, clearly she needs to
She
get
knows
something.
How to do it. She she worked him. She knows how to work her husband. She knows how to play Philip and get what she wants.
She does.
And, you know, Philip, you know, he jumped up like a soldier and, you know, did it. you know what I mean.
He did do
Took
it.
On the assignment.
All right, let's talk about Oleg.
Oleg
is, you know, pretending to do his classes, runs into
Tatiana.
Quote unquote, Tatiana, who is still livid.
Yeah, a blast from the past. I barely remembered her until they started talking about their past.
Yeah, she's still livid that he foiled her operation and straight up tells him that she was the one who told on him.
Okay, see, I missed that part. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he give information about Tatiana to
Beeman? I believe
so. It's kind
of
like a little trade. You wash my back, I wash yours.
I believe so. That was a few seasons back, but
right.
Yeah.
Okay, and so she was the one who actually dropped dime on him. That's what you're saying, too.
Yeah, that's what she said. She's like, I'm the one who told.
Okay, I missed that.
So, and he was like, they interrogated me. I could have died. Like, what were you thinking? I didn't do it. And because she feels that he's not telling her the truth as to why he's back.
Right.
So we see her actually at the Residentura, and we see what side she's on.
And she's probably actually a little salty, a little jilted,
A woman scorned. She's salty. There is 31 flavors, and she is definitely salty. Okay.
Right.
And it has been marinating.
Okay. Yeah. She's like, I can't wait to get this one back.
Because she's still stuck in the same job. She's
like rubbing her hands, twisting her mustache.
She's mad. Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's the minute she kind of like pressed him a little extra when she's walking with Oleg, like, really? Are you sure? Is that all you're doing here? I was like, she's asking a little too much. That's when I kind of like, okay, new. She might be like, you know, kind of like an asset too. Look, kind of basically trying to like feel him out.
Yeah, she's trying to feel him out.
Which basically you brought us to that scene.
Yeah. I think that wraps it up. Oh, one more thing. Renee is, you know, Beeman. He's like, you know, you could work at the FBI, not as an agent, but you could do personnel.
Such a nice guy,
man. He is, but it's like, have you not learned your lesson? Goodness gracious.
I don't know. We need to talk to those two.
Yeah. All right. We got to get into our segments.
All right.
Cold War flashback right now.
War flashbacks.
All right, what do we got?
All right, this week on our Cold War flashbacks, can we pull up the picture of Khrushchev?
Okay.
Khrushchev was the head of Russia during the 50s and a part of the 60s when the Kennedys were in. But I found this really interesting anecdote. We were talking about how the U.S. and Russia actually were on the same sides at World War II. But we know as soon as the war was over, you know, dividing the spoils and the country just up between, you know, us and them is the you know, it's basically how the Cold War began. This slow kind of simmering competition between us, our countries, just constantly spying on the other one, trying to see how much, you know, information we could get, how much we could basically take down their military. But Khrushchev actually told Mao Zedong, and Mao was the chairman of China, another communist. Mm-hmm. He said, Berlin is the testicles of the West. Every time I want to make the West scream, I squeeze on Berlin. Like he's squeezing their testicles.
Grab the bull by the balls.
There you go. So
it fits in with this episode so well.
There you go. And like the whole thing about East and West Germany, you know, East and West Berlin is, and as we know, what Khrushchev would do when the Russians were really trying to like, you know, lock down their side, the East, and the U.S. was trying to lock down their sides in the West. The U.S., I believe, put in our own currency there or had them institute their own currency, and that's when he instituted a blockade, and that was really when you could see, like, both sides kind of going at it. And ultimately, we could see that, you know, they kind of lost because the Russians ended up losing probably, like, 3 million people who came over from the East side to the West side of the wall, and they eventually had to build the Berlin Wall to try to stop, you know, that leakage of people, which still came down anyway.
All right. Well, there you go. Bull by the balls. Grab the balls. So let's get into news.
News
about the show.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. I don't think I have a graphic on this one, but we were talking about Claudia.
Yeah.
Margot Martindale. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, she used to be in that show Justice, another show on FX.
Okay.
I loved her character then. But The reason I'm focusing on her is because she was covered in the latest edition of Slate, magazine, Slate.com. And we find out that she was also, guess what? A spy.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Margot was a spy. Claudia was a spy. She was talking about how in her acting career that almost for a year she took on a role as a private eye.
Ah.
So she's not the only one who works for that team as a spy. Now, you know, also like Joe Weisberg, the creator, the ex-CIA
right.
agent. But I just thought that was really funny.
All
and
right.
She just was going into detail in the article about how, you know, just... forget being a spy. Just to be a good actor, you have to be a good observer of human
right,
behavior.
Exactly. All right. We got time for one prediction each. So let's do predictions real quick.
Predictions.
Let's see. Okay, I'm going to let you go first real quick.
All right. I'm going to stab out. I'm going to go out on the leg and say... Oleg's going to be the first one to get off.
Oh.
And I don't want to see Oleg go. But this is the first time we've seen things go full circle with his character.
Right.
From the episode 4, when we realize that just by way of... he gave his father all the information about what he's doing there in code.
Right.
And the father passes it on to Arkady,
mm-hmm.
the other Russian handler. And Arkady reminds the dad that, like, yo, the reason Oleg is doing this is because the way you taught him. You taught him about principles and about caring things. So that was, like, kind of like the first, the first, I guess, to me, signal that, like, okay, the minute you're doing something right, then you're going to get off. And then on top of that, he encounters Tatiana, and she tells him about, you know, this wrong that he did. I always thought, oh, look, he's not perfect, but I just thought he was a good guy. But we forgot, you know, he was a KGB guy, and he's done a lot of scandalous things too. So he probably has some things, you know, some consequences that he has to pay for. So
okay.
I think he might be the first to go.
All right. Wow. That's something. I'm gonna let you have the final word on predictions since we're out of time. But if you guys have any predictions and you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to leave them in the comments below. We love seeing them. So where can the good people find you?
Hey, everybody, you can find me at Jamaica House Doc on Twitter and on IG at @Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm.
All right, and you guys can find me on all social media at Alina Vision, and that's Vision with two S's.
Hey.
It was great to be back. Can't wait for next week. We're on the countdown to the final episode.
Getting deep.
That's right. All right. Until next time, we'll see you guys. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.